faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Leo Holman is going to join us for an update on what's going on with the WHO, the World Health Organization, and their push for their amendments being driven by the Biden regime for their May 22nd to 28th conference that will, from everything we're reading from the research of the likes of people like Leo Holman, who is really the first person, I think, to bring this to the American people. By the way, he's also an associate producer and writer for us here at Worldview Report and my nightly news broadcast, and also a broadcast partner. He has been warning about these amendments coming from the Biden regime to the WHO, and the World Health Organization, of course, is really a division of the United Nations and is going to help push for global governance. I want to have him on to give us an update, but I also want to play some audio clips from an interview I did last night with Dr. Naomi Wolf. Now, as I said to Dr. Naomi Wolf when I got her on the broadcast last night for television, I said, you know, you're probably one of the most liberal people in some ways that I will have ever interviewed. And I'm probably one of the most probably conservative people you will have ever been interviewed by. But what's ironic is that you and I agree on some major, major issues related to tyranny, the vaccines, COVID passports, etc. And so we had a very interesting conversation. This woman is quite interesting in what she's saying, particularly when she comes from the background she comes from. It's very much like my interviewing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I would not agree with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on so many issues, right? I wouldn't. There are many issues I would not agree with Dr. Naomi Wolf on, nor would she agree with me on. But just like the conversations I've had with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., my conversation with Naomi Wolf last night was very cordial. And if you did not know her background, you would say she's a right winger. Well, she's not. I mean, you can go look up her background. She is not a right winger. But she does not want tyranny. Now, I did not know she had a Jewish heritage. It turns out she had many people in her family that were victims of the Holocaust. That came out during the interview. She is concerned about so many of the things that those of us on the conservative right are concerned with. And she's on the liberal left. But she is experiencing the same things from the Marxist that many of us on the right are experiencing. Listen now, this is very interesting. She's being deplatformed. She's being criticized. She's being ridiculed. She's being targeted because she is opposing anti-Semitism. She's opposing Marxism. She's opposing globalism. And that's not acceptable, whether you're on the right political spectrum or you're on the left political spectrum. What we discussed last night was, if you think you're safe because you're on the left, when we have a full-fledged revolution, the people on the left are not safe. And any of them that ever voice any disagreement or opinion contrary to that of this regime, they will persecute you, prosecute you, eliminate you just as quickly, maybe more so, as they would people on the right. Why? Because they certainly cannot have people from the left exposing what they're doing. Because frankly, that helps our cause. Because I'm able to go, wait a minute, this isn't right-wing conspiracy. This isn't right-wing extremism. She's on the left. She's on the left. And she's agreeing with us. And she could turn back and say, yeah, I am. And we acknowledged last night in the interview, she would not embrace my worldview in totality. I don't embrace her worldview in totality. But guess what? Can we not be firm enough in our convictions and be adults to have an adult conversation where we do agree, and from the right and the left can both agree that this is not going to a good place? Well, that's what we did last night. Again, she worked with Bill Clinton. She's worked with many candidates of which I would not agree. But she has an understanding of politics, of policy, of how things work in the White House. And you are going to be shocked at what someone on the left, who sounds like she's on the right, but she's not. I mean, I guess you could say in some ways her positions are very conservative. But maybe that word isn't even conservative. They're more constitutional. They're more patriotic. They're more about national sovereignty, some of her issues. I mean, she's just coming down where we all would have been as Americans back in the 1960s and 70s and 80s for most part, right? But I want you to know, she definitely has a views on the left that I would never agree with. And I'm sure I have views on the right she would never agree with, right? But you're going to be shocked to hear someone from the left saying what she's saying. It was quite chilling. People were texting and emailing, said that was fascinating. And we're used to hearing this kind of stuff from me. You're used to hearing this kind of thing from Leo Holman or other people from the right. So you got to hear this. You got to hear this. All right, but joining me right now is Leo Holman. Leo, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right, before I go to the stuff about the WHO and all that, I want to play an excerpt of my interview last night with Naomi Wolf, Dr. Naomi Wolf. What would you like to tell our audience about her before I play this clip?
Well, my understanding is that she was a Clinton consultant, campaign advisor to the Hillary Clinton campaign. She is an author, very well-known journalist author on the left, always been, I believe, pro-abortion, at least maybe not rabidly so like the ones today where they want to be able to abort babies up to the ninth month, but always firmly in that camp, you know, pro-choice.
Pro-abortion.
Kind of live and let live, sort of a what you'd call, I guess, a classic liberal, but not rabidly hard left.
And I guess that's open to interpretation, depending on what you call hard left. But I think I understand what you're saying. I want to make sure our audience understands what you're saying. Is
hard left, compared to us, hard left, yes. But compared to the leftists of today.
She's not a Marxist. She's not a Marxist.
I think that's the difference, right? She's not a Marxist.
All right. So let's go to this clip. Because, again, and why am I putting so much emphasis on this interview? Because I want you to have something to play for your friends that you can say, now look, you can think Brandon House is whatever, however you want to describe him. But have you heard what someone on the left, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has said? Have you now heard what someone on the left, like Dr. Naomi Wolf, has said? So to your family and friends, oh, well, he's a right-winger. He's a right-wing conspiracy nut. He's an intolerant right-winger, evangelical conservative bigot, right? Okay, if that's what you want to believe, that's not true. But if that's what you want to believe, so share this with your friends that say that about me and say, but what are you going to say about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Dr. Naomi Wolf on the left that are saying the same things as House and Leo Holman and the rest of them? So this is fascinating. People are waking up, but is it too late? She actually said she regrets voting for Biden. She said, I regret having voted for Biden. Listen to her. Listen to this.
Star that's directly behind.
You don't have the audio, Leo?
Or, No.
Reagan. All right, guys. We got to get this worked out. All right, here we go. You can go to the image on the screen, too. Here we go. Republicans are conservatives, but they really aren't. They're not saying a word about what the WHO is about to do that you just brought up. They went along with the whole lockdown, mask mandating vaccines. I mean, they went along with all of it. And, I mean, those are on. So, we can't. You know, I know that some of the guys on Fox News for years always want to make everything a right-left paradigm, right-left paradigm. And I know that's part of the Hegelian dialectic process to get us to all, you know, come together and fight it out and then go to option C that we can all agree on, but to keep the ball moving down the field. But reality is, I do think that a lot of these guys on the right in the Republican Party are just as dangerous as the people on the left.
Well, you're absolutely right, which is why we kind of have to snap out of the, you know, the theater that we've been presented with. You're completely right that it's not a matter of party. I mean, I'm in New York State, and our governor is a Democrat, and she's a tyrant, and we're under emergency law, and she keeps extending it every 30 days. And there's, you know, very dangerous regulations that she's trying to get through and she's able to because of emergency law, to make us vulnerable to being hauled away into quarantine camps if we're exposed to a quote-unquote bloodborne pathogen, and then we can't get out pending a court order. And we narrowly defeated a similar regulation that was floated in Washington state. And this is the same regulation that has passed in Australia that leads people to be detained without charge or trial. And in China, they're just quarantining people without recourse.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? Did you say bloodborne pathogen? So like maybe if we had the outbreak of a hemorrhagic fever where people are bleeding from the nose or the eyes, and we came in contact with those people, now all of a sudden, boom, we're being hauled off to a concentration COVID camp for isolation?
You know, it's very interesting you mentioned a hemorrhagic fever because that's literally the one disease that's mentioned in these regulations.
And you do know that maybe you don't know, we've had on Dr. Li Mingyan, who was the WHO doctor in Hong Kong from China, who made her way to America, has been warning about much of this, had her on again last week. But she has been saying she's very concerned that China has been working on a hemorrhagic fever to release on purpose. We have video from several, many years ago, where Dr. Fauci is saying it is not airborne. You have to come in contact with the fluids. And yet we have had on a former Pfizer employee, Karen Kingston, showing us all the government research and patents for working on making the hemorrhagic fever some kind of airborne thing, spraying it or aerosoling it, whatever. And I don't know what they're up to. I have no idea what they're up to. I can only interview the people. I can only listen to what they're saying and come to the conclusion that apparently they're planning on that. Why else, Dr. Wolf, would they be laying down legislation already to come in contact with some kind of,
bloodborne pathogen?
Yes.
Yeah, you're asking exactly the right questions, and the pieces are all falling into place. I can tell you, as a former political consultant to a vice president and a presidential campaign, that people don't go to the trouble of drafting regulations or legislation if they don't intend to use them. It's expensive, it's laborious, it requires lawyers. If a regulation says bloodborne pathogen, we should expect a bloodborne pathogen. The other thing that I've found, you know, and I detail this in the bodies of others, is that China, you know, I mean, I say these days that we're under attack. I say these days that we've had a national security breach, and that China is famous for, you know all about this, committing what they call asymmetrical warfare, yes, meaning subverting us without a shot being fired. So I've got 3,000 highly credentialed volunteers through the War Room and my platform Daily Clout, doctors, nurses, biostatisticians, lab clinicians, medical fraud researchers, and they've been going through the Pfizer documents, the 55,000 documents released under court order.
That they wanted to hold for like 75 years,
75,
right?
Exactly right.
All right, we're going to hold it right there because I don't want you to miss any of what she's saying. She. In fact, I'm going to have Leo comment on what she said up to this point before we keep going. But you're about to hear someone that has been a consultant for vice president and presidential candidates and worked in the White House tell you why she is concerned there will not even be a 2022 election. Yeah. It's shocking what she says. And she's coming from the left. This is important stuff. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Don't forget about our bookstore. We have a lot of resources in our bookstore, including emergency supplies. And it's a big part of our general operating budget to keep putting out free radio shows, TV shows, the Worldview Report news show. That takes seven of us 15 man hours a day. That takes seven of us 15 man hours a day to produce that 30-minute newscast because it is, you know, so professional. And Leo works on that with us, big time. So again, if you appreciate all we're doing, I invite you to check out our bookstore and see if those any of those resources are beneficial to you. If so, we appreciate your checking those out and obtaining some. WVWTV.com/store, WVWTV.com/store. Leo, his website is leohoman.com, leohoman.com. Leo, before I continue playing some of the audio from my interview last night, would you like to comment on what she said? I particularly want you to address the fact that she said, look, I've worked in the White House as presidential and vice presidential candidates in the White House, and these guys don't go to the expense of and time working with attorneys to draft legislation and policies about bloodborne pathogens unless you plan on having people coming in contact with, you know, blood-infected pathogens, i.e. hemorrhagic fever. So she's basically saying we should expect hemorrhagic fever, which is very consistent with what Dr. Lee Ming-Young has told me in two interviews, that this has already been tested and this is what they plan. And they need something that's really going to just freak people out, right?
Absolutely. This would be so much more horrific. They would have the visuals, okay? It's hard to come up with horrible visuals. They tried, but it's more difficult to come up with horrible TV visuals of a coronavirus. Because people just die. If they die from it, you know, it's just you finally take your last breath and you die, you expire. But the way people die from this hemorrhagic fever is entirely different. They start bleeding through their nose, their ears, their eyes. The death rate alone, I think, is, about 10 or 15% compared to less than 1% for the coronavirus. It might be less than 10 or 15. I'm not sure what the death rate. I just know it's somewhat higher than coronavirus. But the way that you die is much more horrific if you die from it. Everybody who catches it does not die. But my point is they could scare the living
daylights
out of people with this simply by showing, just like they're doing right now with the shooting in Buffalo. They keep replaying this interview with a black family that is just gut-wrenching. It will tear your insides out. The man is grieving over his, I think it was his mother or his wife, and his son sitting on his lap crying. The sisters are in the background wailing, crying. You can feel their pain. That's the type of TV that they would love to do with a new virus. And I think hemorrhagic fever would elicit those kind of just strong, guttural, raw emotions in people, and they would do anything to stop it. And then they would say, okay, we already have the vaccine for this. But in order to get the vaccine, you have to first get your coronavirus vaccine. So you, 30% of America, or however many it is, that hasn't even had a single shot of your COVID-19 gene therapy, you better line up for it, or you could be in danger of dying like these people you're seeing on the nightly news. And I think that will draw in a large percentage of that 30-35% that is still out there, Brannon, and they cannot go through with the Great Reset unless they get at least 90% of the people vaccinated.
All right, let's continue. We're also going to get to the WHO. Here's continue.
And I don't mean vaccinated against hemorrhagic fever. There is the gene therapy shot. This is the one they want everyone to have.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's more from last night. Here we go.
And what we're seeing in those secret documents, now not secret, are harms and damages to the human body, deaths, fetal abnormalities, spontaneous abortions, encephaly, hemorrhages, strokes, heart attacks, neurological disorders, so extensive. And the FDA knew, right, knew and turned a blind eye or colluded. These harms are so extensive, over 1,200 deaths in 3 months. Four people died the day they were injected. I mean, I could go on and on. The injection damages your leukocytes, which is your helper cells, your immunity cells. The injection goes through your bloodstream and lodges in your liver and your spleen and your kidneys and your over, not kidneys, I'm sorry, spleen, lymph nodes, ovaries. It's
and what
so
you don't know is, and what you don't know is, right after you, we're about to have an OBGYN on that sees 6,000 to 7,000 women a year in his practice, and he's got PowerPoint slides and presentation to back up everything you're saying.
Absolutely. And in fact, I was just talking to a reporter about this, reports of almost double neonatal deaths, newborn deaths in Scotland a year after women were injected. Almost all of Scotland is vaccinated. And the Department of Defense databases that were released by whistleblowers represented by Tom Rentz show that women in the military who were pregnant after they got vaccinated had an 80% increase in fetal abnormalities. My point being, I've done research on the SEC filings for BioNTech, which is the company that Pfizer bought to make the mRNA vaccine, that shows a 100% tech transfer in 2021 to China. And it's not a German company. It's a German company with a partnership with China. Fosun Pharmaceuticals, their partner, is headed by a very senior member of the Chinese Communist Party. So all of these red flags, you know, really indicate to me that we've had a national security breach. And China has a white paper in which they predict that by 2030, they'll be the world's hegemon, the world's superpower, and they'll have the world's database of DNA, and that they'll be the world's superpower because the rest of the world, especially the West, will be preoccupied with struggling with their health. So I personally think that there's a demonic level of, you know, crimes against humanity here, and that our adversary China is looks like they're intimately involved in this, and it looks like we've got a captured administration who's going along with it, and people are behaving literally treasonously. So it's a very serious situation.
I absolutely agree. So tell me this: when you say that this administration, the Biden administration, looks to be captured by China, I agree with that. What do you mean by that?
Well, Hunter Biden's laptop, right? And this is very embarrassing for me because I voted for the Biden administration. But
do you,
you know,
regret that vote?
I mean, that's tough, right? I mean, yes, obviously, seeing what I see now. But, you know, if we're going to be honest, President Trump made some pretty horrible mistakes that made it very difficult for someone like me to vote for him. We can talk about that in more detail if you want. But here we are, like, everyone's got to look in the mirror. The Republicans have to look in the mirror. The Democrats have to look in the mirror. But basically, Hunter Biden appears to have taken over $3 million from a senior member of the Chinese intelligence community. And when you're that compromised, when your family's that compromised, it's like a hostage situation. I don't think this administration is acting independently. If you look back at what's happened in the last 2 years, it's been one annihilation of American prestige and power after another, whether it was abandoning people, including soldiers in Afghanistan, to the president checking his watch multiple times during a military funeral, to leaking a decision or a draft from the Supreme Court, one after another after another. It's as if systematically our country has been mocked and eroded from within.
I agree.
I know how White Houses work. I've been in and around White Houses as a spouse and as an employee, and you can't do that unless the people at the top are in on it, colluding with it. And you can't have, like, who is the FDA? The FDA reports to the White House. The president is the boss of the FDA. And the way politics works, you can't have an agency like the FDA colluding with thousands and thousands and thousands of Americans being damaged, harmed, you know, babies destroyed in utero, people dying, you know, that would burn up so much political capital if it came to light, which it is now. You can't have that unless you know the White House is on board. So I think we've got a captured administration, and I think people have to be investigated for treason.
Dr. Wolf? What does that mean for us in the next 2 or 3 years? What does that look what does that look like for people like myself who are, you know, I'm a conservative evangelical Christian, okay? But I'm not intolerant. I'm not a bigot. If I was, I wouldn't have you on to share your position or give you any airtime. I do believe in my convictions. I know you believe in your convictions, and I think we're convicted enough in our own convictions and adult enough to say that we can have a conversation without you saying you endorse and embrace my worldview in all areas, or I endorse or embrace your worldview in all areas. But we can certainly talk about these issues, we can debate the issues, but at the end of the day, I value your freedom of speech, because I know if your freedom of speech is taken over by an administration, well, the next administration can take over my freedom of speech, or maybe the administration can take away both our freedoms of speech.
Yeah.
Because
so,
aren't you also on the left losing your freedoms of speech, just as Mike Lindell on the right is losing his? And aren't you guys losing it over some of the same things, talking about the government, talking about vaccines, talking about our system in America? Aren't you both on the right and the left losing your system from the same, your freedoms of speech from the same government?
I mean, absolutely. One of the first moments in which I realized that the left had lost its mind or lost its soul is when the Biden administration was first elected and there was this purge on social media of President Trump. You know, by the way, his lawyer is my lawyer. We're suing Twitter for deplatforming us. And there was a purge of conservative voices, and liberals were cheering. And I was horrified, because liberals should know, you know, really more than anyone, they're supposed to be the free speech people, that first they come for the guys you don't like, and then they come for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, look, people are ignorant of history. People on the left right now are super ignorant of history. They're getting in bed with, they're aligning with the way the wind is blowing, and they're aligning with tyranny without realizing that historically people who align with tyranny have no protection. You know, they're not going to be safe. If there's a Ministry of Truth, the Ministry of Truth is going to go after first you, then me, and then all my friends. You know, if we lose our sovereignty and we have militias without any allegiance to our commander in chief, but who report to Bill Gates or to the WHO, showing up outside our doors, they're not going to spare, you know, liberals because their guy was in power. I mean, it's a very stupid move to think that you're safe just because you're aligned with the way the wind is blowing right now.
What do you think, if you've used some very interesting words, using up political capital, this is not a smart thing to do. You know, if you're talking about being reelected or concerned about being reelected, why would you do these things?
Okay, we come back. You're going to hear what you've been waiting for. This is the spot. She said they're losing up political capital. Well, if they're concerned about being reelected, why would they do this? And she's going to say, I'm not so sure there's going to be a November 2022 election. Well, that's conspiracy from the right and the right winger. Wait a minute. She's definitely on the side of the left on many issues. And Leo is going to respond to all this and tell us about the WHO update.
All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Now, folks, this is from my TV show last night, and I don't often bring you the audio for radio of my TV show from the night before because we have so many things to cover. We don't have time to plow ground that we've already plowed, even if it's on another broadcast. So, again, a lot of this stuff is on demand on my website at wvwtv.com. And maybe you only have so many hours a day for which you could, you know, listen to stuff, right? But the beautiful thing about going to WVWTV.com is you'll see every segment of my radio, every segment of my TV show, every segment with every guest is clearly labeled. So as you go to WVWTV.com, you can scroll through there and say, not interested, not interested. Ooh, look at that, interested, okay? And then you can listen to it on demand. If you can't catch it live, then you can listen to it on demand. But it's there. But what I'm trying to say to you is I'm covering a lot of material on a lot of shows, and I'm not trying to repeat it on all the different shows I carry. I'm not interested in having three or four shows, and I just cover the same stuff on every show. Every show I try to make different and unique, okay? This is a situation where what I covered last night was so important, I want to get it out to as many people as I can. Leo's going to respond to all this. Leo at leohoman.com, and give us an update on the WHO amendments for their conference coming up May 22nd to the 28th. But I got to play this last clip. Here's what we've been waiting on. I ask her, if you are concerned about using up your political capital, then why would you be doing this, meaning the Biden regime, with the November 2022 elections coming up? Listen to what she says. So I ask this. Are they concerned about being reelected, or are they planning on doing something that guarantees reelection? Or C, or is there going to be a hemorrhagic fever outbreak and there will not be any elections? Or was it, let's do as much damage as we can in the 4 years we got and then and walk out of town? I mean, what is the long-range plan? It doesn't seem to be politically expedient for themselves what they're doing.
I'm really glad you're asking these questions. These are absolutely the questions we have to ask. And I have a pretty sad answer. Look, you know, I was taught as a political consultant to read events backwards, meaning political operatives always start with a goal that they want to attain. And then they take that goal to the message shop and they say, like, create a story, create a narrative to get people on board to get to that goal. So I'm often called a conspiracy theorist just because I've been in those rooms where history is decided, and I know that they always start with the outcome. So because I know that, I've been very worried for a year and a half that they're not behaving as if there's going to be accountability, normal political accountability. Exactly. They're not behaving in any way as if they will ever face trials or investigations, or as if they have to worry about getting elected in the midterms or in 2024. They're 1,000% not doing that chess. So when you're not doing that chess in politics, that means there's some other game you're playing. And I've been predicting this with pretty much 100% accuracy for a year and a half from having studied the histories of tyranny. And right now, I will say, and no one likes it when I say this, I don't expect that there will be midterms. Based on history, there will be some fake gestural midterm, but there will be a crisis. There will be an October surprise of some kind, a November surprise. There will be an outbreak of some horrible disease. We will be locked in our homes, or else we'll be deterred, especially the red states, people who vote in person, who are conservatives, will be deterred from voting in person. There will be a mayhem, maybe crime on the street, gangs, stabbings, people will be scared to go outside. I'm just speculating, right? It could be any number of things, but the goal will be to deter people from going to the polls and to drive the mail-in vote, which can be, as you know, much more easily tampered with. And I've also predicted accurately, I predicted 6 months ago, there would be food shortages. There would be events happening so fast we would get disoriented. There would be cyber attacks. There would be gas shortages and energy shortages. All of those things have come to pass. So I'm scared. Honestly, I'm scared there could be a nuclear attack, right? I'm scared. They're absolutely acting as if something will happen in October. It will be like, oh, well, guess we can't, for our own safety, for your safety, got to keep you safe. You can't have midterms. That's what it looks like to me. And
well,
I'm wrong.
I'm 100% agreement. And wow. Leo, that's the clip we need to put into Worldview Report as we work.
Yeah. I mean, Brandon, when I listen to that, it's almost like she's reading verbatim some of the columns I've written at leohoman.com over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact of the matter is, I know she's not reading my stuff, and I'm certainly not reading her stuff, but we both see the exact, we see what time it is in America. Okay?
And we are conservative, evangelical Christians, political, economic conservatives, Christians. She's admittedly coming from a liberal position, but not a Marxist position, and she's seeing the same thing we're seeing. And she agrees with us that it's coming from the right and from the left, from the Democrats and the Republicans, and from the globalists, internal and external.
Absolutely. We've got so much going on right now leading up to these elections. It's like they waited until 2022 to throw all this stuff at us. The supply line problems, the diesel shortages, the new disinformation governance board, the mass shootings picking back up. She talked about mayhem and violence in the streets over what? Over the abortion issue and other things. I agree that's they're going to start venting. Summer is coming. This has all been timed. You can call me a conspiracy theorist as well. I'm right there with Naomi. I don't see normal elections, maybe no election in November, but we certainly are not going to see normal elections.
Well, and General Flynn, you know, who's a guest on this show many, many times, been in our studio a few times now, he predicted that we could see an economic collapse that would stop the midterms.
Absolutely. Brandon, if people can't...
I mean, that's General Flynn, the former director of national intelligence, for Pete's sake. You know what I'm saying?
Right. If people can't afford to drive their cars and can't drive to work because they're still making the same wage they made 2 years ago, but food and gas is gone up 100%.
Or how about 300, 400, 500%?
Exactly. I mean, then the economy shuts down. Right. Driving cars and trucks is being shut down right now. The First Amendment is being shut down right now.
You and I know, because we reported it on Worldview Report, that the truckers are already being told to get ready for coming diesel shortages.
I'm told, what, about 8 days supply? You know, normally we have 150 million barrels of diesel in supply. It's down to like 10 million. Probably below that now. I heard that a few days ago. So everything is being methodically shut down. The Supreme Court is being shut down with this disastrous leak. Whoever did it was done with the intention of shutting that institution down, at that venerable institution, as a credible American institution. Okay.
And by the way, let me just stop you right there for a second. They have disparaged our police. They have sought to discredit the police, discredit the military, discredit the Constitution, discredit the Declaration of Independence, discredit conservative, patriotic Americans, hatred for Christians. The hatred for Christians is rising. The attacks on Christians are rising. We now see the attacks that have come in Buffalo. That guy was, by his own admission, if the manifesto is to be believed as from him, was not a white supremacist per se, in that the way they define white supremacist, meaning Christian capitalist free market person. He was a white supremacist in the likes of neo-Nazism, a self-described eco-fascist socialist. Okay? Now the shooting in California, we're hearing that this man was from China and killed these people who were from Taiwan. They were Taiwanese, because he's from China and his hatred of the Taiwanese. So notice that the attacks came from a neo-Marxist or a neo-Nazi type on Buffalo, a socialist, eco-fascist, a neo-Nazi type, and then the other one came from what appears to be a pro-Chinese guy against the Taiwan, the red-green axis, if you will, you know. The red-green axis. Of course, Marxism is different than Nazism, fascism, but they're all headed the same road. Many of the people that took off the black shirts of the Antifa put on the brown shirts of Hitler. But no one's in the media largely explaining to you who was doing those attacks. They are gaslighting, triggering, and I wouldn't be shocked if the own intelligence agency wouldn't put in these mentally unstable people that have been on their radar up to this stuff to create civil war in the streets.
Brandon, I wouldn't either. I mean, look at this kid who did the shooting in Buffalo, 18 years old. We're supposed to believe that he wrote a 180-page manifesto. I talk to teachers and Sunday school teachers and youth people who deal with teenagers, and they say it's almost impossible to get them to write a 2-page paper. You know, this generation that was brought up on iPhones and iPads and all the electronic devices, they have an attention span that is just like nothing like what we had when we were their age. And so to get them to focus on one issue with laser focus, like he were supposed to believe he had, and to write out 180 pages, I'm sorry, I don't believe it. There's more to that story than just some mentally ill 18-year-old racist. I'm sorry.
Well, and then on top of it, Leo, if you discredit your police, you discredit your military, you discredit the Supreme Court, discrediting all of our American institutions. Well, doesn't that leave you with basically saying we've got all these crises, so we're going to solve it by declaring martial law and render all these agencies that are useless and pathetic anyway, the way they've discredited them, they're useless and you know, not worth anything, so let's just implement martial law and let's now partner up with the UN to help solve our problems through the WHO,
and let's empower the Antichrist.
Yep. Which brings us to the WHO. That's coming up May 22nd to the 28th. She made reference to the WHO, which is a division of the UN, correct?
Absolutely.
And those amendments written by the Biden regime, we're told, will take away our national sovereignty, and the director general of the WHO, i.e. a UN guy, will be making the decisions based on what is an emergency in America, what requires us to be locked down, mandated vaccines, etc. I mean, you're talking pure globalist tyranny put upon America by the UN. That's what will happen and can happen. I should say, can happen if these amendments are embraced on the 22nd to the 28th of this month at their conference, correct?
Yes, Brandon. This is a Trojan horse being put out there by the globalists. It's a backdoor end run around our national sovereignty and the sovereignty, frankly, of every nation. 194 member nations of the World Health Organization, national sovereignty. Vote for them. Now, it's not going to be game over if they do pass it next week at the World Health Assembly in Geneva, where they're going to vote. These 194 nations will vote on this, and all it takes is a simple majority, and then it goes back to the nations, and they have 6 months to consider whether or not they want to truly abide by these new amended regulations or not, or whether they would like to withdraw their vote.
Absolutely. All right, let's keep...
And 6 months from now is November.
Yeah. Well, and again, I see a few people on Frank's speech criticizing me for having her on last night. Folks, you are ignorant. You don't understand what it is we're doing. We'll be right back and explain it to you. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Okay, so Leo, a couple people, I guess, in the feedback section, or one or two people in the feedback section, saying this now proves I'm far center. Logan was just there laughing. Ah! Okay, because I interviewed Naomi Wolf, I'm now far center. Wow. And again, it always amazes me how stupid people can be and how not as wise as a serpent or as gentle as a dove or strategic. That's why our side loses. We're not strategic. I interviewed her for a very strategic purpose. And the very strategic purpose was not to find common ground with her per se. And it was to denote the difference between our worldviews, which I did several times. The point and strategy of interviewing her was to get someone from the left that worked with Bill Clinton on the show, on record, on our show, as she has been on other shows, but to show our audience, here is someone you can play a clip from to your leftist friends and say, okay, so you think Brandon House is a far right winger, conservative, evangelical, Bible-thumping Christian. Fine. But what about RFK Jr.? What about Dr. Naomi Wolf? I'm trying to get people to see we are not doing what we're doing or saying what we're saying because we have a political agenda from the right, that we have people on the far left that agree with us. We're being strategic, but unfortunately, too many people on our side are too stupid to know what strategic is. And that includes people like Sean Hannity and some of these other guys that are so beyond the point of stupidity now.
Brandon, can I just jump in here for a second?
Yes.
Number one, Sean Hannity is a fool. He himself is supporting Dr. Oz, who is a far leftist. But
yes.
That aside, the globalists know that the last thing they ever want is for left and right to agree on anything. Now, we know most of the things we will never agree on, but if we could agree on one thing, and it's one very important thing. Let's say COVID vaccine mandate. Let's say vaccines for children. They know that once that happens, that the left and the right, that their values and their desires intersect on one important issue. That's all it would take. Their gig is over. Their game plan is now destroyed, because that is the way that they are conquering America, by keeping left and right in two 100% totally diametrically opposed camps. The minute we cross over on one, it has to be a major issue, not something minor. The minute we cross over and meet with our leftist fellow Americans on something as important as what Naomi Wolf is working on, they're done. And that's why the people who, the rhino Republicans like Sean Hannity, they're working, I believe.
Where'd you go, Leo? Where'd you go? You must be getting call waiting or something. Back up a sentence.
Ever happening.
Back up a sentence. We lost you because of call waiting or something.
I was just saying, people like Sean Hannity, they're knowingly or unknowingly working for the other side, because they cooperate with the globalists to keep us divided on important issues.
Yep. Yep.
There are some issues we can never agree on, and they're mainly religious issues, matters of faith, matters of the heart. But on certain big political issues, There are people who vote Democrat. I hate to break the news to people, but there's people who vote Democrat who do not want to see their children forcibly vaccinated.
Yep.
And we need to reach out to those people. There's people who vote Democrat who don't like seeing people flooding over the border.
And let me ask you this, we run out of time. Let's add in some of the headlines today. Russia deploys nuke missiles to border with Finland in chilling threat over country's NATO bid. This regime is doing everything they can to get us into war over there, this proxy war we're fighting, funding them, wanting to give them $40 billion, which a lot of it will be money laundered through the pockets of many, I think, in Washington and their friends around the globe. But they seem to be doing everything they can to make sure we get into a world war by fall, too. So add all the different things that are converging, EMP attack, attack on the electric grid, or using that as the narrative for an attack on the power grid when it maybe was our own government doing it. Leo?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much converging right now, Brandon, between the transportation industry being shut down from the lack of diesel, the threats of EMP, the threats of the government cracking down on political speech, which has never happened before in America. You know, people, they want us to be sick, scared, confused, and broke.
And
that is the goal. That's the goal of the globalists.
And
sick, scared, confused, and broke, and divided.
There we go. The last one is a good one, too. Divided, because listen to this. We now have at worldviewreport.com, pro-life group that leftist firebombed now faces disturbing death threats. Quote, burn little Jesus freaks, end quote. So we talked about the increase of persecution against people of faith and Christians, pro-lifers, over the Supreme Court document draft leak, and here you go. So now we're going to also make sure we stoke the hatred of Christians at the same time. So we got a hatred of Jews, anti-Semitism rising, a hatred of Christians rising. Huh, interesting timing, huh, Leo?
Yes. I always believed that in the end times, Jews and Christians would come together because they would finally realize that they are both the target, the ultimate target.
And there will be so-called evangelicals doing the targeting of us, and there will be bad Jews and bad Gentiles targeting us. So, yeah. We're very aware who George Soros is and the lineage of some of these folks, and they're both
right.
Jews and Gentiles, folks. I always love how people say, well, look at those, what the bad liberal Jews are doing. Well, how about what the bad liberal Gentiles are doing? But yeah, we're going to be targeted
Bill
by
Gates
our own.
Right, I know.
We'll be targeted by our own. Well, the Jews and the Gentiles be targeted by their own. So, Leo, what can we do in the closing? I know we got about 60 seconds. Well, there's the music. I mean, we need a couple U.S. senators to stand up on this WHO thing, don't we?
We absolutely do. And so far, not one has raised his hand.
So maybe we need to ask Senator Rand Paul to come out and hold a press conference. Maybe some other U.S. senator, but certainly maybe Tim Scott or Rand Paul together. But I would say flood their...
Johnson, maybe.
No. Yes, Ron Johnson. I would say we need to be calling Senator Ron Johnson, Senator Rand Paul, Senator Tim Scott, ask them to hold a press conference together and denounce the WHO amendments. You agree with that, Leo?
Absolutely.
LeoHoman.com. LeoHoman.com. Ours, WorldviewRadio.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.